before, I discussed the halachas. I want to talk a little about the notions that are inherent in tefillah. In tefillah, we have the parasha of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Vayim Shemaya, Kaddishli, etc. Vayim Kiviyach. Where do we put tefillin? Put tefillin on the hand? Put tefillin on the head? And the tefillin shalyad has to tilt towards the lave. Tilt inwards towards the lave. I think the inyan of this, I believe that the Klayoka says a similar thought. The end of Parshas Bo. Everything that the human being does in this world can be classified as one of three things. It's a thought, a feeling, or an action, a maisa. Everything that we do, the totality of the human experience in this world. Thoughts, feelings, and actions. The tefillin, the Rosh, is clearly the seat of thought. So we put the tefillin on our head. What's representative of human action in this world? The hand. It's most of what we do, things that a human being does, it does with his hands. It's human action. The lave in Yadus is the symbol of Regesh. Lave represents Regesh in Yadus. So we have these three elements, the Machshavas, the Regesh of a person, the Mice and the actions of a person. On all three of these, what do we say? We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That all of these are subjugated to the Rabbanu Shemayla. All the three spheres of human action, in all of them, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Malchias. The last pasuk in Malchias, Rosh Hashanah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Melech. Where do we put our tefillin? Tefillin is an anomaly. Person makes kiddush. Which hand does he pick up the kiddush cup in? Strong hand. It's right handed, it's right handed, it's left handed, it's left handed. A lulav and esrog. Where do we pick up the lulav, which has the three mitzvahs? With the stronger hand. Tefillin, we put on the weaker hand. Why? Well, it's true. The word yod cha is normally spelled in the Torah yud dalid chav sofit end chav. In Parshas Bo it's spelled yud dalid chav hey, a very unusual spelling for this word. The unusual spelling, Chazal said, is a remez to yad keo, that we put tefillin on the weaker end. But it still begs the question, what's the point? True. There's a source, it's probably Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, there's a remez in the Torah to it, Yad Keya, Yad Chob at the Hay. But what's the point? For what end? So when I ask this question to Bar Mitzvah boys, I get them a little bit nervous. I say, to answer this question, I said, I want them to move as close to me as they can get. Close, 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 till they're right next to me like this. Then I pick up my fist, and I say, I ask them a question. He says, can I punch you in the nose? I didn't ask if I may punch you in the nose. That's not my question. I didn't ask you for permission. I didn't say I want to do it. I want to know if I can punch you in the nose. So what's the answer to that question? No, they're right. Perfect range. I have them in perfect range. What's the answer to the question? Can I or can I not? Say in davening every day that I can't do it. Rabbis machshavis belevish. I could want a lot of things in this world, but what happens in actuality is vatzas Hashem yisokom. if the Rebbeinu Shalom wants me to succeed in knocking him in the nose, I'll succeed. And if he doesn't, it won't work. I'll get a cramp in my hand, I won't. He'll duck, a policeman will come in, whatever, I'll have to stop. But something will happen that will interfere with my ability to do it. So what's our conclusion? Human ability to act is powerful or weak? It's weak. Can't do what I want. All I can do is that which the Rebbeinu Shalom lets me do. If he doesn't let me do it, Yeravam stood in Sefer Melachim on his Mizbeach, right? And his hand froze, it got paralyzed. Couldn't move till the Rebbeinu Shalom let him move again. Couldn't move. His hand froze. So the human being, our ability to act is not powerful. Our ability to act is weak. And that's why we put tefillin on the weaker hand. To say that our action altogether is weak. Why? Because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The one that controls our actions is the Rebbeinu Shalom himself. So we put tefillin on the weaker hand. So we start tefillin then is part of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can understand then the connection theologically, between philosophically, between tefillin and Shema Yisrael. It's true, in Shema Yisrael we mention the psukim of Kriya Shema, of tefillin in the Kriya Shema, and therefore the halacha is one's not supposed to be yotze Kriya Shema unless one would miss this mom without putting on tefillin. But philosophically the connection is tefillin is malchi, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So when we come to that point in the day where we're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be with tefillin. Tefillin is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch. Now, the tefillin is very, very significant. Mitzad Adin, we should wear tefillin the entire day. Ella, for untold dairus, it has not been the minhag of Klal Yisrael to do so. I don't know if we know any longer when they stopped wearing tefillin. It's an awful long time ago. In the time of the Rishonim, they didn't wear tefillin altogether, as I've mentioned to you on other occasions. The average from Balabas did not wear tefillin in the time of the Rishonim. Certainly not among the Ashkenazi. As far as I can tell you with such certainty, but among the Ashkenazi community, the norm was not to wear tefillin. Tefillin was for holy people. The attitude that we have towards wearing tefillin a whole day today, that was the attitude they had in the Ashkenazi community towards tefillin 1,000 years ago. At the time of the Balei HaTosfos. The Balei HaTosfos, the Smag undertook to change it. He went around the rites in Mitzvah Gimel and Sefer HaSmag, in the Mitzvah Sasei, and he says, because of my droshes, he says, thousands of people started wearing tefillin. That's what he repeats. Thousands of people started wearing tefillin. So it went out of vogue an awfully long time ago to wear tefillin a whole day. Why did it go out of vogue? Because tefillin of Kedusha. Now, a Sefer Torah also has Kedusha. So a Sefer Torah, we're very circumscribed with what we do with the Sefer Torah. We put a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh, we take it out very carefully and gently, we bring it to another Makom Kodesh, the Bima, which Al Pidin, one's not supposed to put anything else on the Bima at all, other than the fact that in later Doris they said Leiv Bezdin Masna Aleim, they made a condition that we're not Mekadosh it to such an extent, so that we could use it for some other holy purposes, to put a Chumash on, whatever, the Gavai puts his things, but it's a Mokum Kodesh, the Bima, Kitzah Adwar. And then we could, where would he do next? Right back to the Aron Kodesh. That's the life of a Sefer Torah. From the Bima to the Aron Kodesh, from the Aron Kodesh to the Bima. That's it. So, a Sefer Torah we keep always with Mokum Kodesh. Tefillin, if we put on the tefillin, then we realize that we ourselves have to be a Mokum Kodesh. Otherwise, the Shaykh to put tefillin upon ourselves. And Chazal state, the Gemara in Moed Kotten, that the human being is comparable to a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is comprised of two parts. It has the parchment, it has the osius. The human being is also comprised of two parts. There's the guf, which is comparable to the klaf, and the neshama is comparable to the osius. The human being also has kedusha. And therefore, the human being can be roy to wear tefillin. However, we long ago came to the conclusion that it's hard to stay in a state of kedusha the entire day without a moment, even a momentary lapse. So, therefore, the wearing of tefillin the whole day became the nachla of yichidu. The Vilna Gaon wore tefillin the whole day. The Vilna Gaon didn't go in the street. The Vilna Gaon sat and learned incessantly. It's a Malach Hashem. So he wore tefillin the whole day. And other Yechidim over the Doros wore tefillin the whole day. The Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes something very interesting. He addressed a letter to a young man who was in his early teens. And he came to him, he had all types of very strange questions, strange theological questions. So the Chazon Ish said that someone of your background, your family, your school, and your community shouldn't have such strange questions. If you have such strange questions, there's only one possible explanation, he said, that the tefillin are possible. Otherwise it can't be. Not shayach otherwise. So what did the Chazon Ish teach us? We take a cell phone every night and we plug it into our recharger. Right? So we go to work in the morning, our BlackBerry, we put it in our pocket, right? It's juiced for a whole day. So the Chazon Ish taught us that the same thing is true with tefillin. Tefillin are the recharger. And we put it on in the morning, it gives us a charge of Kedusha that's supposed to carry us through the whole day. Give a different complexion to our Avodas Hashem. So it's not just a symbolic happening that we put on the tefillin, but it has a concrete effect. So, hence the significance of mitzvah tefillin. And a mitzvah that on one hand, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, that we did not have the same Mesiras Nefesh for tefillin that we had for Mila. Mila, we were Mesir Nefesh for Mila. So therefore, there's a special kiyum of mitzvahs Mila and Klal Yisrael and all the doors. Even in the Soviet Union, they observed mitzvahs milah very big. They told me. So we didn't do a bris right away after the baby was born. It was too dangerous. So we waited a month or so till everyone forgot that it was a baby in this family, and then quietly we'd come together and make a bris. On the other hand, the Gemara relates that there was a Tana, or someone at the time of the Tanaim, and he defied the Roman edict to wear tefillin. And he wore tefillin in the street. And a Roman policeman saw him and came chasing after him. So he took off the tefillin and put it in his hands. And the policeman said, "Open up your hands." And that's Elisha Bar Knafayim. And a Yoina flew out. So he was Meisr Nefesh for tefillin. But the Meisr Nefesh had a gvul. Because of that, it says, in all the doors we have problems. Mitzvah tefillin is not as strong as it should be. That's why we find, as I pointed out in the time of the Rishonim, was a mitzvah that people didn't fulfill. And it's had somewhat a checkered history, mitzvah tefillin, for that reason. And yet, Yidin war Moshe Nefesh. I had in my family, I don't know if I still have them, I don't know, I may have them in my house still. I had a pair of very, very small tefillin. I don't know if they were bigger than this. Tiny tefillin. And they came with a little blue talis tefillin bag. Those were tefillin that I believe my grandfather used when he was in the Russian army. They were small enough to fit inside the pocket of his uniform. So he could always have his tefillin with him wherever he went. So Yidin, there were Moshe Nefesh tefillin.
I can write so small.
It's hard. It's hard, but you can write so small. There was one of the early people, I think Rav Zilber was his name, that came from Russia to Eretz Yisrael. Said a chavra of Hashalom, was friendly with him. It was close to 40 years ago. So he showed him a paper of his notes, you know, a little piece of paper with his notes, and my friend looked at it, looked, couldn't read a word. No matter what way he took it and looked at it, it was incomprehensible. So he asked him, what's on this paper? He said, these are my notes. He said, when I was in the Soviet Union, so I had trouble with the secret police. So I couldn't write down things that I needed to write down. So I developed a very, very tiny handwriting that you could look at it and look at it. You can't make any sense out of it. I can read it. No one else could read it. He says, they took it. There was no way they couldn't decipher what I wrote. He says, I just got used to writing that way. So I'm an Eretz Yisrael now. I said, I still write the same way. So, Yidin were Moshe Nefesh for the mitzvah. And a mitzvah that was always easy to do. Now, between the regesh for the mitzvah, but doing the mitzvah, that's always a problem. In halacha, it's not rooted in regesh. I heard of Yosher Ber Soloveitchik put it. He says, if you're a conservative Jew, a reform Jew, so the essence of the Hadlokas Neiris Friday night is that there are Neiris on the table. I lit the Neiris at 8 o'clock, 3 hours after Shkia, and Nishkanaf Gemina. But yes, the essence of the mitzvah is when you lit the Neiris. If you lit the Neiris at the wrong time, it may even be the worst Avera. Forget a mitzvah, let alone not being a mitzvah. And you see sometimes, you know, the Neiris, many mitzvahs are outer representations of sublime concepts. When they are merely outer expressions, but they lack the inner representation within a person, they have very little meaning. I respect them. They're still better off that people do them than they don't do them. Don't get me wrong. Whatever kesher people keep with Klal Yisrael is important. Whether it's a kesher of bris milah, a kesher of bar mitzvah, a kesher with candle lighting, whatever that kesher is, all the ksharim are important. But in reality, if we examine it, there's nothing there. It's a thin cultural expression, lacking its toich and its essence. And it was said, when I lived in Canarsie, with the years before I was married, after I came, I lived there for 9 years, 9.5 years. After I left East New York. So I used to come home Friday night from shul. I lived in an apartment building. I think there were 6 floors in our apartment building. I lived on the 4th floor. So right by the front door of the building, the front door had like a few long steps that went up. You went up a little until you went a few feet. Another little steps that went up till you got into the building itself. So right on the left, as one approached the building, there was an elderly Jewish couple that lived. Not a firm couple, but an elderly Jewish couple that lived there. So on the way home Friday night from shul, so I would ask, entering the building, as you're coming to the entrance of the building, you pass by their windows. So I passed by the living room, and there the television was on. I went one room further, another few feet was the kitchen, there the Erev Shabbos were burning. Inner expressions need ultimate, outer expressions need the fulfillment of the din to really achieve their sanctity. Otherwise, as a Rosh Hashanah said, they're cultural expressions, they're artistic expressions, they're not mitzvahs. And yet, as I said, I don't push any of it away. So together with the outer expression, we have to know that we fulfill the mitzvah. So where should I start? Let's start with this halacha. This is a halacha which is very, very important, and far from enough care is put on this detail by people that put on tefillin every single day and sincerely wish to be mekayim the mitzvah. Siman lamed gimel sif gimel. Oyer haretzuos, the leather which is used for the retzuos, tzorach sheyeh me'or behema chaya v'oif ha'tahirim, has to come from either animals. Chayas means undomesticated animals, deer, etc. V'oif, or birds, ha'tahira, as long as the Torah, the Torah is b'achila, so you can use the skin to make leather and make the rituals from it. V'tzorach sheyiyam u'ubad lishmat, and you have to do the tanning process, lishma, shem mitzvahs, kedushas Torah. Rituals can be bein me'oyer, they can be made of leather, bein me'klaf, ksheiros. Right? We don't typically use klaf, we use something more substantial. Ksheiros. Now, here's what we get. All of that is usually tends not to be a problem. Why? Because those parts are professionally done. So all we have to do is yuzaycha, to buy from an erlich professional, so that part is taken care of. Then comes the part which is dependent on us. Halacha l'moisha misinai means it's been a Torah. Sheyuyu shchayrois arutzua shchayrois.
On what side?
That they have to be on the top. Yeah, on one side they have to be black. Yibachutz on the outside. Abu mitzap nim on the inner side. Yase me'ez etzeva sheyirta. Chutz me'odoim, it shouldn't be red, because that's a bizoyin for the tefillin. Shamiyomru, shamidam chatot of nitzbu v'adim, that, you know, he had skin irritations and he bled, and the tefillin got red from that. So it's a gnai for the tefillin that he treated them in such fashion. Now, first, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Rambam, the halacha l'moshe misinai, uleikuvahu afilu b'di'evet, and one is not yotze even b'di'evet if they're not black. Here we quote the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph. It says, "V'hutzrich levayerze." The Rambam had to spell this out. The Yesh na Halacha shu rak lemitzvah ba'alma. Sometimes you find Halacha l'moshe misinai, and it's what one should do, but b'di'evet, one still yotze without it. And he gives an example: Kibushabbos tafayin tesam et beis ayin shom. And this goes, and this applies. Bein ha-shoroish, and all the shoyah, the Rambam says. Now let's take a look at a number of points. Shchayreis. Where's the raised place to start? Shchayreis. I am Rosh Hashanah, the Mashem and Dvorah, the Mitzvah, the Shchirnachi, Shchayreis Kairi. They should be as black as a raven, very black. Vida, dim nisyashnu, if they became old, and the black peeled off. Tzorach la'ashchir on mechodesh. One has to re-blacken them. Unechol el b'simen lamed reisif lamates. A remokim hiduk ha-kesher, from the place where we pull the kesher through, especially in the shalyad, when we make it tight. Motzi ma'id l'ismayach ha-shachris. For the black to come off, to get rubbed off in that place is very common. V'yesh li'zor b'zeh ma'id. And one has to be very, very careful about this halacha, because it's ma'akir b'di'evet. One's not yoytze, the mitzvah, if one's missing even a small amount. The Chofetz Chaim writes the following, which is a very, very important point. Ritzua shchayres bin ashal roish or ashal yad, this is the Rambam. Mistapakna, I have a shayla that the Chofetz Chaim wrote. Imen ha-toyre dai b'chol echad ha-kadesh yuro. How much of the length of the Ritzua has to be, like, as much as the minimum shares, and our Ritzuas tend to be longer than that. So therefore, if it was at the very end, I wouldn't have to worry about. And the rest, it's preferable, so because of Hidur Mitzvah, that it should be black. Since it's all one long Ritzuah, it's Tzricha Lios Kula Shachar, so the whole thing has to be black. And somewhat of a raya I have, Mikushya Sagamor and Menochis, Lo Mashani Beheter, Yeser, Al Ashir. And that would have avoided the Gemara's next kasha. So it's Mamashma in the Gemara that it has to be black all the way. Shnitchais. So the Gemara has, he says he cannot go off the raya. He says at the end, Vitzorachim. So it's a Sofik deraisa that comes out. So because of a din sofik deraisa, we have to make sure that it's all the way until the end. There's no part that it comes off. Next child, this is Gamini Yodeya. Like the Mabarta is the place, the canal through which the Ritzu was pulled, which attaches it to the tefillin. It's Aloha L'Moshe Messina, you have to have such a part of the tefillin. So how about the Ritzu that's inside the Mabarta? Does that have to be black or not? That part of the Ritzu. Ulechatchilo lo mistapakta dechayv lahashche. He says, I certainly know the chatchila that it has to be black. Maybe it'll get till stretch and it'll pull to the outside. I am a gemara sham. Maybe it's considered like what's totally inside the bias itself. By in Ram Perak Gimel, together our shachrus, how black should it be? I am a gemara sham. Yashkiro pam achas. Make it black once. Yavish tzas. And then when the gets dried, oz yashchiru yashchiru pam shenis v'chein pam shlishis, make it black a number of times over. Chia or shochar lechol atzayrach mamish ka'iriv, as black as a raven, black, not grayish. V'nolei dezel rak lemitzvah b'alma. This is a mitzvah. Avo b'gdino kol shechalalov shem shochar. As long as one would classify it as black, sogile. V'lefize afilim hoyam arisa doma lemarak choyil. Gamkin kosher. In other words, you sometimes have like a bluish black. Sometimes it's hard, even without good light, to tell the difference between blue and black. So if you wind up in such an area, that would still be kosher. Here's a raya from a Gemara.
The top,
yeah. Now, so this is a very, very important point. Yeah, it comes out, even if a miktsas of the ritzua, even if a little bit of the ritzua is not black, one's not yaitz of the mitzvah. So if, for example, in the morning, you put on your tefillin, and all of a sudden, it's near the end of davening, and you realize that part of it is not black, so you should take it off. Make it black, l'shem, kedushas tefillin, and you have to put it on again that day. Because one was not yoytze the first time around.
With a bracha.
With a bracha, yeah. It wasn't the first. Yeah. So this is something that we have to pay a great deal of attention to. Because this is a repetitive process. the black rubs off, has to be redone. I have this feeling that one time when I'm going to replace the ritzuas, I'll get the all black ones.
Yeah,
they have them now.
Why is that any better?
Because it's not going to rub off, because if they're outside, everything underneath is also black.
Isn't it just on the surface?
No. They made a new type of ritzuas, which are black through and through.
Throughout,
yeah. They figured out how to do it. It's permeated by the black. So it can't rub off. Whatever rubs off underneath is another layer of black.
All white, black through, it can still get dirty or whatever,
but
dirty wouldn't make
dirty wouldn't be ma'akif, I don't think. But
some are shiny, like the top layer.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be shiny.
I'm
not sure how, what
if it's a glossy thing.
It's a glossy polish.
Yeah. You know, in earlier times
that seems to crack quicker.
Probably there's more substance to it. Yeah, there's probably more substance to it. It's rather than, and substance cracks all the time. It's interesting, you know. And historically, they were not so concerned that the outside of the tefillin should be so refined as we have it today. The Chassam Sofer, the Chatzadik Levrocha, so the Chassam Sofer lived till approximately 1840. The Chassam Sofer wrote that halavai, that somebody would figure out how to make Tefillin gasos, or behema gaso, meor echad. They knew how to make dakas meor echad, but they did not know how to make gasos meor echad in the Chassam Sofer's time. And there was a sefer in Hungary, circa 1860, who was the one that invented the method of making the gasos meor echad. And I actually saw about 40 years ago a pair of tefillin that had been made by this batamach. A sefer in Williamsburg had it. He showed me the tefillin. If I try to sell them to you today, you wouldn't buy them. Why? Because the outside was very rough. You know, the leather was folded, whatever, like folds in it. It was not smooth on the outside as our tefillin. It was rough on the outside. So, you know, they didn't worry, you know. The very finished look that we have on our tefillin came later. The ones, the inventor didn't know how to make tefillin, it seems, in that oifen yet. They hadn't perfected it to such an extent. So this is one of the most important halachas that we need to know, is to keep an eye on the ritzuas, to make sure that they stay black.
And even just to make sure I understand, because I have extra lengths that rub.
That's what he said, that's his shayla, even though all the extra lengths. So what I would often suggest that you do, you can cut it off, yeah, and you don't have to bother to make it black again. What I also suggest to do is, what happens is, because you tuck that under, so you get that part as against the skin, so you're better off if you're the sweaty type, if you don't tuck it all the way under, if you tuck it one layer up. Right, tuck it one layer up, so it doesn't rub. So therefore, the sweat is not going to go on it. It won't cause the ritzua to rub out in that spot. So that's a practical etza, how to tighten the tefillin without, you know, destroying the ritzua in that place. If you tend to have that problem,
if you cut it, does it still have to be at that angle?
No, whatever. The angle is for niceness, you know. Now, on the other hand, let's go to Siman Lamed Beis Sif Mem. There's another halacha of being black, and that's of the bottom and not of the ritzuas. That is a different halacha, as we'll see. That's why I say the most critical aspect is the ritzuas. This is Lamed Beis Sif Mem. The oyer of the batim, it's a mitzvah to make it black. In Siman Lamed Gimel, we saw halacha l'vayish misina, that it should be black. Here it's mi- or about the mitzvah la sa yisrei shochet.
Yeah. So the
tzuas
are a higher level in terms of
getting. Yes. Now, the Chofetz Chaim comments, that the shin on the side of the tefillin, which is the most, as the essential kedusha, should be black. Sometimes the black comes off. Mitzvah. And the fact that the Shulchan Aruch writes mitzvah, mashma, the b'di'ebed, ain't with the ikuv. So it seems the Shulchan Aruch's psak is that it's not ma'akev. So if the bottom have a little bit, a white spot, that he yates b'di'ebed, according to the Shulchan Aruch. V'yesh poiskin yisfiru lehuda, aloch l'moshe mitzinai, ketzukumor ritzuas. There are those that say that it's aloch l'moshe mitzinai, just as the ritzuas. Uli could therefore uli kuvu wafilu b'di'ebed, according to their sheet, it's ma'akev b'di'ebed. And the Biar Groh seems inclined to that view that it's Allah Moshe Mitzinai. B'chein b'yishuvos Yaakov, b'chein mashma the Yorav, b'shiur Knesset Agdoilo, the Yesh Lahachmer, and the Bevochim de Laevsher. Unless for some reason you can't just yet, you don't have black, you can't blacken it. Yesh Lismo Chadibri Amakidim Galish Lo Lizbatam and Mitzvah Tefillin, that you shouldn't miss out on the Mitzvah Tefillin. So, on the bottom, one also want to be careful. And if they get a little bit a white spot, so one should blacken them. Again, you have to say the shame produces tefillin when you blacken them. However, b'di'evet, if circumstances don't allow, you can still make a broch and still be yotze the mitzvah, even if they are a little bit white. So the bottom, the chatchila, we should try to keep at the same level as the ritzuas, and with the ever, there's mokum to be mamekum. Now, what else do we have to be careful about? Well, before we go, one is in the care of the tefillin itself. Where do we keep the tefillin? The last thing that you want to do with tefillin is leave them in the car, especially in the summertime. The car goes up to 140 degrees or more when it's closed in the summer. I have a friend who's a safer, he's told me that he's seen parshiyos that the ink melted. It dissolved and ran from the heat. So no longer any ksav inside. The ink just ran all over the place, and that's it. There was nothing there, globs of ink. So one has to be careful where one keeps the tefillin. Very important. So otherwise, you could buy very expensive tefillin and not be yotze. So that's important. Now also, the ribua is important too. Sometimes the tefillin, we drop the tefillin, it falls down on the table, bang into the wall sometimes with it. And sometimes just from use over long periods of time. Even if we don't know a particular problem, every good number of years, it's kedai, just to have it checked. The last time, whatever, when I checked a good number of years ago, the ribua was still kosher, but it wasn't behuder anymore. It was slightly off. Still kosher, I'll be there.
What was the corner?
Yeah, we'll go over to what the ribua. The ribua has to be square. We'll come to where there are three things that have to be square on the top.
Could that be repaired, or it has to be?
In Gassus, it could be repaired.
Yeah.
I sent it, whatever, I gave it to the Sefer, whatever, to the Batamacher, and they repaired it. They came back. You have new tefillin after that. Gassus can be repaired. But we have to be careful about the ribua. Now the ribua is according to the fira oisa ayin, the way the person sees it. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to take a caliper to see if it's exact. Sofrim of Hokim, they took a matchstick and they measured a side and made a mark with that. And then they broke it off and they measured all the other sides. And if they matched up like that, it's kosher. Onwards. But what has to be, where do we have to have ribua? Oh, let me go to one other halacha first before I go to the ribua. There's one other aspect, and this is particularly true in tefillin shel yad. that where we pull on the ritzua, so the ritzua tends to get thinner. Now, sometimes it tears, which happened to someone here recently, or it just keeps getting stretched out and thinner. So there's a shear. The chatchila, it has to be, it should be 11 millimeters, which is 0.43 of an inch. And with the yevid, 9 millimeters is good, which is 0.35 of an inch, just over a third of an inch. So there is a shear. So we do have to keep watch if it starts to get stretched out to make sure that it has at least 0.35 of an inch, 9 millimeters. And if not, it has to be replaced. So that also, in that part of the tefillin, we have to be very, very careful.
That's the width of the ritzua.
It's the width of the ritzua, yeah.
So at the knot.
At the knot.
Where you pull it.
Yeah, at the time it gets stretched out and tends to get thinner.
It gets crushed.
Yeah, if you can pull it out, it's not a problem. But sometimes over time it stretches and gets thinner also. And sometimes it starts to tears there also from all the pressure. Now, let's take a look at halacha b'ribua. Tefillin, bein shel roish, bein shel yad, is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Again, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Sheyum rubois, they have to be square. Oh. Now, what has to be square? The tofron, the tefiros have to be square. That should be really on the top and the bottom. Chatchilo. Uva alaksoinon, and the diagonals have to be even. It should be a square, not at all rectangular. Also, alaksan sh'omru chazal, so the diagonal should be called amsa b'ribua, that it's 1.4. In effect, 1.414, the diagonal, the square root of 2. With rechum shabalaksana. With tzorach lerabeya moko meshovon, the tefillin have a few different parts. It has the bias itself, which the Shulchan Aruch has become a batim, right? That's the bias that sticks up. There's the brim that goes around the side. That's called the titura. And the titura also has to be square, and the stitching has to be square. Now, the titura, at the back of the titura, you notice there's always a cut. It cuts in slightly. The reason is because they want to mark the end of the titura. Otherwise, it's going to be rectangular, the titura, because it's going to go straight into the mabarta and the part in the passageway, the canal through which the tefillin, through which the titura goes. So they cut it at that point, so it stands as a separate unit to underscore to the ribua of that part. Otherwise, there wouldn't be ribua. So three parts after every ribua: the bottom after every ribua, the titura after every ribua, and the tefillin after every ribua. Those three things. So we need to keep an eye on them, because tefillin do tend to get damaged sometimes. Well, these three things. Now, let's take a look at the Chofetz Chaim. Kuf Ayin Dalet. Shiyu merubu ribuon shal atfirois the tfirois. Literally, poshet zorach lios atfirois meruba bein milmailo bein milmata, whether on the top or on the bottom.
What does it mean the top of
the titura? The tzuas are on the top. You see on the top of the titura, on the bottom of the titura.
Oh, that same stitching.
Yes. Now, in other words, because the problem will be, if you make the holes at an angle, then they're not going to be square. So you have to make sure that the holes are exactly straight. You know, the drill was a 90 degree angle to the bias when you went in. So it has to be top and bottom. After the rarely linium with the ever, he says, I'm not sure, but the ever, if you need both, become more on the chatkila bavada yeshli zorba, so you certainly have to have it that way. Then he says, Kadesh ye alaham, oisai alaksan. Perish, but ribua gomor means it has to be squarish, not at all rectangular. A rectangle. Sha'orko karoch bo mamash. Shiru chachomim kol asher shi yeshlo Ba'alaksin beis chum shchum shenoysa falosa washer. In other words, for each one that you have 1.4, really actually 1.414 of the diagonal. Gam kantzor shiribu maruba mamish. Avonim no yeh maruba mamish. If it's not mamish square, lo yeliyah ba'alaksin shalok asher beis chum shen tosefes. You're not going to have 1.414 if it's not a right triangle. I'm going to write a right, you know, going to right angle. El shirach va'alkein yimdo denu v'dalit kavim on four sides v'yedam huvaruba denu tchila yimdo kav echad ba'irich one in the length v'kav echad ba'irich av shiyas shava ach shema v'mitzor shava v'tzod of mismayet. Maybe in the middle it's the fine, at the end it's narrow. Then measure the diagonal. She used shoven base kavi alaksan gamkein. So you know that it was consistent, that it didn't, you know, change shape somewhere along the way. With tzorach lirabeya, he writes, and one has to make it square. Mokom shoven the titura. Begamzehu alochol amoshu misina ledasroiv apeiskin. Begamzehu beribu agomer has to be kamo batfira. But after Maruba Mamash from Lecha Sabatim, to Dinah Shiyah, but Tachlitz at Simtum will come out, to make it Mamash exact is almost impossible. The Komok and Komok, the Efshalo, the Odom Lassus, Binyan Zebavadi Chai, Vulassus, we have to make it as precise as we are able to make it. Moishavon is Vuhuati Tura, Dinah Shiyachto Chamabatim, if we make the cutout before the passageway through which the Ritzua goes, so it's clear that the Titura is square. Any pagam, any deficiency in the Ribua is ma'akev b'di'evet. And you have to be very careful about the Ribua of the stitches. Sometimes they make the stitches wider. Nimshach achut litzdodim, so the thread pulls to the side because this root moves. It goes, wiggles up and back. It's not a straight line. On the top side and on the bottom side. Many people don't pay enough attention. The Chofetz Chaim writes that it's square. Afilo medakti kibbe mitzvus yeishen mashgichem kol echad kiyim al rosh habat nishim urubon. They only look at the top of the bias. While in mashgichem ala titura ala tfira shehu gamkein veikra din. They don't check the titura, the brim, and the stitching. That's also meikra din. Udobar anokel lesake. And these things are quite fixable. But we have to pay attention to them. Vegam abatim. The locomotion organ tzas lasa sayidei lasa shayara gula barosh. There are those, we don't see this anymore, they used to make it roundish on the top, the bias, raksha marabeya titura mulmato. The square part they kept for the titura. Elabena shayad bena sharosh yumru boy. Vakavono vasharosh kishar bo vatim yachad yumru boy. It means all four together. The whole bias for local echad ba'atzma. The ribua batim tzorach liyos b'chol meshach goivan, and the up and down the entire height. In other words, not enough just at the top and the bottom, in the middle it sticks out. Began ribua yiyagadei abatim atzmon, and it has to be that they're actually square. B'lo yidei shamatiach aleihem, not because he filled it in with something, but it didn't match, so he filled it in, he plastered on some stuff on it to get it back to the right amount, to the square. I will goiva abatim in lahakbedim v'yosim erochman v'orkon. It doesn't have to be a cube. The height of the bottom could be any amount that you want. Just that the width and the length have to be the same, but it doesn't have to be cube length.
Keep looking down. Looking down, that has to be a square.
Now looking down, it has to be a square. It doesn't have to be a cube. This kalkul ribua, if the ribua was damaged, so he writes, yesh mishayimah, but the Chofetz Chaim says there's no machlekes, except he just found one pesik that discussed it, so that he wrote it in yesh mishayimah, but everyone agrees, shetzorach l'rabon, you have to make it square again. they came in the Ribu and Halacha the Moshe Mishinai is b'chol shayt the bina shiyum Rubam. It doesn't make a difference when we come back and tzorach lemoided them b'chol yom and Ribu kaim. You don't have to come each morning and measure them. Shemamidin oisin halachas kosam im lo shavoyish in his kalkul. Unless he knows something happened to damage him in this akamat titura, and if the titura warped. It no longer looks squarish. One should fix it. So these are just a few simple ha'aras that are relevant to us day in, day out with our tefillah. We should be zeicha to be mekayim the mitzvah.
Yassi and I
have
a question.